Between May 6th and November 6th, 1889, in the shadow of the newly erected Eiffel Tower, some 30 million people attended the Paris World's Fair. The enterprise, celebrating the centennial of the French Revolution, was advertised as a gigantic encyclopedia that showed and explained everything. Sounds of all types enveloped those attending. Amidst the babble of visitors, bands blared, musical entertainers worked the cafes, dancers glided or stamped or wriggled to various musics. Audiences assembled in the acoustically deficient concert hall at Trocadéro for concerts of Western art music, and so on. The physical location of music shaped the way it was listened to, just as aesthetic debates about the music of different nations and times reflected the politics of the writers. The national government, and even the city of Paris, consciously planned the image they hoped visitors would take home from this event, and music was important to their efforts. That from the essay, Musical Encounters at the 1889 Paris World's Fair by Leslie Wright. We're told that Claude Debussy may have first heard the instruments of the gamelan as early as 1887, when the Dutch government gave a gamelan to the Paris Conservatoire. But in 1889 and in 1900, he heard the complete gamelan orchestra, played by skilled native musicians, when he visited the Paris exhibition. The 1889 gamelan was a small ensemble, consisting mostly of metallic percussion instruments. The 1900 gamelan was considerably larger and had a more complete instrumentation. He was really moved by the music he heard, and he wrote to his friend Pierre Louis in 1895, "The Javanese music is able to express every shade of meaning, even unmentionable shades." And in 1913, he expressed again his appreciation of Javanese music. "Javanese music obeys laws of counterpoint which make Palestrina seem like child's play. And if one listens to it without being prejudiced by one's European ears, one will find a percussive charm that forces one to admit that our own music is not much more than a barbarous kind of noise more fit for a traveling circus." These quotations prove that Debussy was keenly interested in this kind of music and give us important indications about what characteristics the French musician mostly appreciated in gamelan music. Great freedom in forms and harmony, fascinating timbres, and layered textures. Alessandra Padula contends further that since Debussy did not simply imitate or borrow gamelan music, it can be suggested that his music is not a mere example of colonialist exoticism. He rather selected from a gamelan those procedures and sounds which resonated with his own aesthetic sensibility and incorporated them into his own compositional thought with the aim of expressing his inner world. That from the essay Debussy as a Forerunner of Interculturalism by Alessandra Padula. It was 5 years after that last expression of appreciation for Javanese music that Claude Debussy died, on March 25th, 1918. So this month marks the 100th anniversary of the composer's passing, and Bucknell University in Lewisburg is hosting a 3-day centennial symposium that opens on the anniversary itself, Sunday, March 25th. Ching Zhang is assistant professor of music at Bucknell and co-organizer with Bethany Collier of the conference that will feature concerts, talks, and workshops that are open to the public free of charge. We had a chance to speak by phone with Dr. Zhang about the symposium and the way they will be exploring the composer and his music.
March 25th marks the 100th year anniversary of Claude Debussy's death. And after 100 years, and his musical work still remain so significant and influential. And so we thought about to have a festival to celebrate his life and works. And the elements we are thinking about, looking at some particular points about his musical influence, is some of the unique aspects we have at Bucknell. We have our university gamelan, which not many schools have. So we will actually feature three curated concerts. And the very first one is on March 25th, so literally 100 years later. And we'll be looking at the time when Debussy first encountered gamelan back in 1889 at Paris Exposition. And for the first time, he heard gamelan, Javanese gamelan, and later he integrated gamelan's music into his musical work. So that concert will feature traditional Javanese gamelan and Debussy solo works like pagodas, and that's really influenced by gamelan elements. And then we also have our guest artist, the director of American Gamelan Institute, Judy Diamond, and an Indonesian guest artist, Igusti Nyoman Delta, and they will be working with our students, and we will also program a lot of different elements, and we will also program a new commissioned work for gamelan inspired by Debussy. So that's one aspect we want to look at, what influenced Debussy's language. And then the second concert we came up with is Debussy as a virtuosic composer. During the end of his life, he completed this major work for piano, Seminal Etudes and 12 Etudes. And some audiences probably are familiar with Etudes, where Chopin, Liszt, Czerny, and really the Etudes are showcasing the physical sort of brilliance of the performer. But Debussy very much also emphasized on the compositional innovation and the intellectual idea, which really later became sort of hallmark of 20th century music. So I will actually be playing a program featuring some of his etudes along with the modern etudes by Ligeti, Rakowski, George Perl, and also a new commission by the most recent Grammy-nominated composer, Zhou Tian. So that's the second part. And then the last part will be looking at Debussy's work in chamber music. And part of it is Bucknell has been very supportive of inviting guest artists coming from different places. So we'll actually have a Grammy award-winning string quartet, Parker Quartet, who is a quartet in residence at Harvard, come. And once we learn the news, you know, they will be able to come, we said we have to do a program featuring his chamber music. So on that concert, we will program one of his early chamber works, his string quartet, and continue on to program his Malamai songs. He's particularly interested in working with the poets, and so he wrote a lot of songs of different French poets. And then the last one will be his violin sonata, which comes much later in his life. And along with that, and there will also be a piano quintet by César Franck, another French composer, actually, who is Debussy's organ teacher, early influence. So we want to basically, through these different concerts, to see the impact that Debussy has made to the music and to the people that came after him, but also to see what came before him and what influenced him. So I would also want to thank our art and art history department and French studies, and we will have people and students and faculty from there to collaborate with us and further explore the relationships between different disciplines within the art form and what all being influenced by Debussy and influenced Debussy.
What was your first encounter as a performer with the works? What did you start with when you were first getting to know Debussy? When was that? When you were a little one?
A little one, yes. I was a little one, and the very first piece I played by Debussy was Arabesque, and one of his very early piano works. And then the second piece was Clair de Lune. And I still clearly remember when I played Clair de Lune, my father said to me, "Wow, maybe you can be a concert pianist one day." He was very intrigued by the music, by the beauty of the music.
Did you always have Debussy on your radar, or did you come and go depending on what you were studying or what you were learning or playing in the course of your own career?
I would say it came to sort of the focal point of my career and my repertoire later, more during my graduate study that I played so much romantic works and classical works. And sort of when I got to the graduate school, I wanted to explore more contemporary works. And I find all the contemporary composers, they're all referring to Debussy. So then naturally I feel like I need to learn more about Debussy, about the roots of modern music or contemporary music. Even though, of course, now the contemporary music has grown so much from where Debussy was, that the essence of exploration, the essence of looking for new language, new tonality, new color, new timbre, and that's sort of very much vivid in Debussy's output. And so maybe about, I would say, 10 years ago, I started to play more and more Debussy. And my dissertation itself was also on Debussy as a virtuosic composer, and talked specifically about his last set of piano works, the Etudes.
And you made a wonderful case that there was a real musical sense to them. You can play them independently, but it's even more rewarding when you play more than one together.
True. No, you beautifully put it, actually. Yes, you can definitely perform them individually, and you certainly learn them individually. Each one of them is not long, but enormous in terms of the amount of different materials. But when you learn more, when you put them next to each other, you certainly get a greater sense of his language and the development of his language later in his life. And also to see sort of the similarities happening in between different pieces, you know, between these etudes.
And the excitement there must have been in Paris surrounding the World Exposition, various cultures coming together with the visual arts and music and dress. And as you suggest, the amazing discovery of the sounds of something like the gamelan. And that's so much like a 21st century kind of thing, right? That world music.
World becoming into one village, absolutely. Yes, yeah. On the first concert on March 25th, the gamelan concert, we will also program a concerto for piano with Javanese gamelan by American composer Lou Harrison. And he is probably really one of the most central figures to bring gamelan into Western music, because essentially he's actually writing gamelan music versus where Debussy is only integrating the gamelan into his language. And so where Debussy encountered gamelan in Paris, where so many new elements happening during that time, and Lou Harrison actually encountered gamelan also at an exposition in San Francisco back in 1920s. And he kind of opened up his mind and his ear, although he was also already exposed, being living in San Francisco, and he was already exposed to a lot of Asian music and Chinese music. And so it's been great, and working with Bethany Collier, our gamelan director at Bucknell, and Jody Diamond, and to see kind of both the similarity and differences in the way how gamelan is being portrayed and resounded in a Western sort of musical context. And you know, in Debussy you hear Western music still with gamelan, and then in Lou Harrison you're really hearing Indonesian gamelan music with some Western elements in it. So it's wonderful how the world, both in through the music, kind of through in the social context, but also like through musical context, it becomes so much more blended into one.
And for our listeners who know the word gamelan but might not have ever seen one or heard one, can you just describe what we might be seeing there?
Okay, so that's actually very exciting. We will have three different sets of gamelan that day. The first one is traditional Javanese gamelan, which has a lot of bells and gongs and instruments that are very ornate with like beautiful carving and wood. And it's almost, you're looking at a small orchestra where it's only percussion sort of sections, and then with different percussion instruments. And then the other set is more Balinese gamelan, and a different style of gamelan, but it's still having very similar kinds of instruments. And then we have another set which is loaned by Jody Diamond from the American Gamelan Institute, and who is a teacher, gamelan teacher of Lou Harrison. And so Lou Harrison, being this very creative composer, he actually built his own gamelan based on a Japanese gamelan. And it's very different in terms of the look, and sound is also different. And the most interesting thing I learned, actually, very recently, the patterns on the gamelan, which is called Sibeti gamelan, and built by Lou Harrison, and comes from a Pennsylvania Dutch design, like hand-painted design. And it's also blue and orange, and by coincidence, like Bucknell's color. The program is about an hour and maybe 15 minutes long. And after the concert, our director Bethany Collier and Jody Diamond will invite audiences who are interested to come on the stage to try some instruments if they're interested to explore.
And yeah. So when we hear a piece like Pagodas, is it the harmonies? Is it the rhythm? Is it some of each that we detect that there is that influence in a piece like that by Debussy?
Erica, you really named some of the most important elements. Yeah, that's what made certain music sound reminiscent of gamelan, reminiscent of Chinese music. Debussy really integrated pentatonic scale and whole tone scale, which are the two scales we don't always find in Western classical music, like Mozart, Beethoven, Brahms, Schumann, even though they do use sometimes some whole tone, but most often these composers use more diatonic scales. So gamelan has sort of two different scales. One is very much the same as pentatonic scale, like la 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 la, which is the entire Chinese music is based on, or Asian music is based on. And then the other thing is there's so many of percussive sounding elements in the music, in pagodas. And, you know, you sound, the chord sounds like a gong, and the top register sounds like bells going. And it all evokes a sense of the colors of gamelan. But I will still say the audience will hear the traditional Japanese gamelan being played immediately after they'll hear pagodas. They certainly will still hear a huge difference, but they will be able to hear, that is certainly different from all the other German and even some of the French classical music. And back in the, I would say, late 19th century, and it was not really vivid during that time. But Debussy brought this fresh sense of timbre and harmony into the music.
Well, 100 years later, then you've made a wonderful case for the fact that his music was so distinctive. But ultimately, then, if you could just tie a bow on it and summarize what you've told us about his importance today.
Well, it's a huge task to try to summarize his influence and the impact. But I would say the very particular significance Debussy has made to the world of music is actually integrating so many different elements in life into the music. That includes internationally, that includes cross-disciplinary, like that painting and poetry, literature, and that also includes the sense of searching for something new, and not only searching for beauty, even though his music is all very beautiful, but the essence of innovation, the essence of sort of intellectual creation in his work, set both a tone and stone for the development of 20th century music. And that's one of the reasons we want to celebrate him and to look at composers like Lou Harrison, composers like Ligeti, and composers like George Perle, and our current composers, how their works are built upon such notion of collective work and collective intellect into one.
We got through the whole conversation without using the word impressionism. That's the first thing people think. The French impressionists, yes, Monet and all of that.
Absolutely. Guess what? Debussy did not like people labeled him as impressionist just because he wants his music to just be as it is, not being labeled under any category. However, yes, you're right. He's associated with the symbolist movement of French literature, you know, and the impressionism in painting. So, and I'm sure audiences and we will all hear that and discover that.
Dr. Qing Zhang, pianist and assistant professor of music at Bucknell University in Lewisburg. She is co-organizer with Bethany Collier of the Debussy Centennial Symposium, March 25th, 26th, and 27th. Claude Debussy died on March 25th, 1918. There will be concerts, talks, and workshops open to the public free of charge, and we'll review some of what's available. On the anniversary itself, Sunday, March 25th, there will be a concert titled Debussy Encounters Gamelon, and that will begin at 2 o'clock, and that's at the Y Center for the Performing Arts. There will be a pre-concert talk at 1 o'clock, and then the Bucknell University Gamelon and guests will perform with the pieces Dr. Zhang described for us, and that's free. And that's Sunday, March 25th at 2 o'clock at the Y Center for the Performing Arts on the campus of Bucknell University in Lewisburg. If you're able to get there on Monday at noon, there will be symposium lectures adapting Debussy in ballet, film, and media, and Debussy's sonic space in contemporary Chinese music. That's all in the Bertrand Library. And then there will be a master class with a Parker Quartet at 4 o'clock in Rook Recital Hall of the Wise Music Building. On Monday, March 26th, the concert will be titled Debussy the Virtuoso. That's at 7:30 in the evening in Rook Recital Hall. And Dr. Zhang will perform the piano etudes. And then Tuesday, March 27th, a cross-disciplinary workshop, poetry in the songs of Debussy at noon in Bucknell Hall. But the concert on Tuesday, March 27th, will be in the evening in Rook Recital Hall. And that's Debussy in chamber music. And that's the performance by the Parker String Quartet and Bucknell faculty artists with a pre-concert talk at 6:45. And you'll be able to hear the exquisite Debussy String Quartet, the Franck Piano Quintet, and much more, the Violin Sonata. And this is all part of a symposium marking the 100th anniversary of the death of Claude Debussy, March 25th, 1918. So this actually gets underway on the anniversary of the passing of Debussy. And if you need more information on the web, bucknell.edu, bucknell.edu.